Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people said, oh no. This is Wretched Radio. Minutes, 3 minutes ago, received the press release that the stories that we feared were true, that we hoped were not true, are indeed true. First, the headline. Josh Duggar admits to being addicted to pornography and being unfaithful to his wife. Why is this being revealed right now? You may recall Ashley Madison, the website that is designed to help married people commit adultery, was hacked, and the people who did the hacking have revealed that Josh Duggar was one of the individuals who was a client for Ashley Madison. And so his sin has indeed found him out, and now every media outlet is breaking the story that Josh Duggar has been unfaithful to his wife as a member of Ashley Madison. Now, before we tackle this story, let us remember a few of the rules of discernment. Why are we talking about this story? It's clear this is already national news. This is not a story about some guy in Paducah who is watching pornography. We don't go rip those guys out of the church closet and go, aha, and then talk about it, blog about it, make it more public than what it absolutely isn't. But this story is public, and so it has jumped over one of the hurdles of discernment. We don't talk about issues that are local church issues that are not famous. And even if it happens to be a more prominent person, unless the story has broken, there's no reason to spend more energy and effort to make the story more known than what it already is. It's not necessary, so we don't. But this story is not that. This is a breaking news story. This will be all over. This will be discussed tonight on Fox, CNN. This will be a whoop-de-doo fest for everyone. Discernment rule number two, do we have anything to say about this? Do you have anything that can help people? If all you can do is hack on it, rip it to shreds, not bring anything into the light that is helpful, then don't talk about it. There's no point in just trashing somebody. We're talking about real human beings here. We're talking about a wife. We're talking about kids. We're talking about siblings. We're talking about families. We're talking about parents. If you can't say something that contributes in a positive way or that's different than what is being widely disseminated, there's just no point in entering the discussion. So hopefully we have something that is of a contribution to the conversation. That is why we are discussing the Josh Duggar story. There are, just as an example, many stories right now that are big stories of high-profile guys that are scandalous. Now, this is a delicate balance because I'm trying not to violate the aforementioned rule. So you're probably going to know who I'm talking about, but this is given to demonstrate, not to gossip. There's a very high-profile preacher who recently resigned because of marital unfaithfulness. His denomination just voted him and, if you will, defrocked him. We're not going to talk about it. There's not much to say. There's nothing that we could contribute. Now, it's a sort of widely known story. It's broken kind of big. just because of the profile of the fellow, but it wasn't a massive story. Furthermore, I read the article and I went, I got nothing to say about that. I'm sure there's something, but I don't have it. So I'm not just going to blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, guess who just got defrocked? He's not going to be a pastor anymore. Well, good for them. I don't have anything to say. All it could do is just spread more unnecessary information. Not necessarily gossip, but just it's just not necessary. And I don't have anything to contribute, so we didn't. And we're not going to. The Josh Duggar story is not that. What do we do with this? I think we need to recognize we're going to take a beating. I think that's what we need to recognize. I don't think that the posture on this story is to put our dukes up. This is just a big ugly. And they are going to conflate the two stories. The first story about him and his sisters and some other girls. Now they're going to put the two together and mush it. Now, I still think that it is worth an effort to try to separate the issues, not for the sake of defending Josh, but for the sake of defending the gospel. There are two distinct issues. We would do well to separate them, but let's do it with a tone that says, look, this is a mess. This is a mess. I'm not trying to defend Josh, but everything that you and I talked about regarding Josh when the first story broke is true. Everything that we said, if an individual, before getting saved, did wicked, atrocious things, repented, put their trust in Jesus Christ, and then goes about the business of living a life that is growing in sanctification, not returning back to the pigsty, then you go, that's Christianity. That's what it's all about. That's what happens in Christianity. People get saved. God cleans them up. They don't act like reprobates in that manner. And that is what that's what the gospel promises. You'll be different. Now, two completely separate realities, justification and sanctification. But if there is justification, the second reality will be true also. There will be sanctification. Now, we had seen that with Josh's life. That's what we saw with Josh's life. So none of that was inaccurate. And we want to make that clear so that people don't confuse the gospel, that people don't think that the gospel doesn't clean people up, that the gospel allows for hypocrisy. The gospel doesn't allow for hypocrisy on this scale, because the Bible makes it clear, if you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. If the initial reality, justification, has indeed taken place, the second reality will follow. There will be sanctification. And we want to make that clear. Now, having said that, we want to make sure the posture that we assume on this is one of, you know what, I think you've got yourself a gotcha on this one. But not based on the first story. Let me just tell you, I think you've got some valid claims. And I'm happy to talk about those, and we will talk about those, but I just want to make this clear that when we first found out about Josh and his sisters and those other girls, and then it appears that he got saved after that, and then it appeared that he was living a life in keeping with repentance, none of that was wrong. That's what the gospel is. Now, let's deal with the current information on Josh. We've got to run to our Bibles. And we've got to be careful that we do not act as the local church. Want to be careful that we don't do that, because I don't have all the details. Now, let me tell you the details that I have that just broke 10 minutes ago now. After reports surfaced that former 19 Kids and Counting star Josh Duggar had an Ashley Madison account, that started to hit last night. We hoped that it hadn't been true, because that's what we hope for. The disgraced reality star has admitted he cheated on his wife, Anna Duggar. Now, I'm looking at this young lady, and I'm looking at the kids. This is a disaster. This is a tragedy for this family. In a statement posted on the Duggar family website, he wrote, "I have been the biggest hypocrite ever. While espousing faith and family values, I have secretly over the last several years been viewing pornography on the internet, and this became a secret addiction, and I became unfaithful to my wife. I was leading a double life." Now, we're not the church. We're not the one that is going to be responsible for disciplining Josh, which is our request of his local church. That is our hope for his local church. He needs to be brought before the elders, and they need to spend time figuring out where Josh is at. This is a very delicate line we want to walk here. His elders are going to know way more than what we're going to know. So from a distance, we would say that we are very concerned about Josh Duggar. It would appear that if he is indeed, by his own words, a hypocrite, that would also mean that he could be a false convert. 1 John 3:8-9 says, "If you keep on sinning, you are of the devil." Now, we all understand that Christians sin. They don't live a lifestyle of sin like this appears to be. Furthermore, we need to recognize there are some bigger sins that even if they are committed just one time, should cause the church to say, we are concerned. If somebody is a Christian and they tell a lie, we would say if they've repented of that, that's Christians can lie. If we discover that somebody who is a Christian axe murdered a four-year-old in their backyard, put him in the fridge, and ate him for meals over the next 3 weeks, we would go, hold it. There's every reason to believe that this individual is not a Christian. It is a high-level, gross, high-handed, revolting, depraved sin that is far more than lying, which is a sin worthy of damnation, but there are degrees of sin. So we need to understand that there are degrees of sin, and what Josh is describing here is it's a big ugly. It would appear that it's ongoing sin, which would qualify for 1 John 3:8-9, and yet we're not the local church. So at this time, I believe the best that we can say is we are very concerned about Josh Duggar. It is our hope that his local elders will indeed confront him and deal with him in a disciplinary manner to determine whether or not Josh Duggar is saved. That, to me, is safe ground. I don't think we have grounds yet to make any further declarations. I need to understand my realm of authority, where its ends are. My local church is where I'm involved. My family is where I'm involved. Now, if we see more details released that give us every reason to believe that Josh Duggar is a false convert, then we say so. And when the world goes, "Aha, told you so," I think we need to make sure that we're not, no, you didn't tell us so, because the first, need to try to explain the first time was not an "I told you so." The first time, it appeared that was a typical Christian testimony. Now, you have every reason to say, what's up with that? And let me explain it to you. It would appear that Josh Duggar is not a Christian. It would appear that Josh Duggar has been fooling everybody, perhaps including himself, which is another lesson. I've met Josh once, spoken to him, bumped into him at a convention. That's it. And I bumped into him, and we chatted, and we talked about family values and what's going on in the culture. And I didn't have my discernment radar on. This was before anything broke. It was just a typical conversation with an individual who appeared to be a typical Christian. It's not like I walked away going, you know what? I think the guy's a snake in the grass. It's not like he has a hook nose. Hey, look at that little girly walking by. Let's talk some more about family values. That's not the way that a hypocrite can appear. They can deceive anyone. So don't feel bad if you have been deceived. No, it happens. Liars are very good at lying. And Josh has lived a life of lies. Josh has lived a foolish life. This is profoundly troubling. He was working for the Family Research Council, promoting family values while living like this and lying about it. Which brings us to another concern, another point regarding Josh. Without sounding cruel, Josh needs a lot of help. Josh needs some help right now. The church can help him. I hope that he avails himself of that. I hope that his local church dives in with that. And finally, his wife and kids, I'll be praying for those people. They're victims of a mess. And let's hope that the local church jumps in and supports and surrounds and helps them too. And yet there is, I think, another moral to this story. And that is the moral of high-profile celebrity Christians. It would appear that we done got burned again. Raising the question, is this a good idea for celebrities to become spokespeople for the faith, especially outside of the realm of the authority of the local church? This is Wretched Radio.
Bring up Jesus Christ and you'll get opinions ranging from good teacher to mere myth. Todd's first book, Jesus Unmasked, goes beyond mere opinion and uncovers what Jesus taught about himself. The truth may surprise you as you discover how the Old Testament clearly points to Jesus in the New Testament. You'll never doubt again that Jesus Christ is God. Get your copy of Jesus Unmasked at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Christian families were forced to flee Iraq in a number of Middle Eastern countries when the Islamic State militant group invaded their villages nearly a year ago. The Iraqi families left everything behind, and now they're watching their children get left behind academically. With few resources, local schools cannot take in large numbers of refugee children. A VOM partner church decided to step in.
The church renovated a building, brought in school materials, and found teachers for the Christian school and discussed their plan with parents in the area. Initially, they planned to accept 25 students, but the response from the parents was overwhelmingly positive. Now more than 100 displaced children are attending classes at the school.
To learn how you can pray for and help persecuted Christians, subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter. Call 800-75-VOICE. That's 800-75-VOICE. Support persecuted believers by calling 800-75-VOICE. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
What is discernment? Nope, it's not a feeling. No, it's not a sense. Discernment is knowing. Knowing the difference between true and almost true. Discernment is knowing when mere bad teaching becomes false teaching. It's knowing when a preacher makes a mistake or is actually a wolf. Discernment is knowing. Drive by discernment at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
You see, in the gospel accounts, sometimes the order of events are different in each one of the gospels. Aha!
Well, what you need to understand is that each writer is writing from their own perspective, and they are telling the story of the life of Christ. And in order to represent Christ from their unique perspective, one from a Roman, one from a Jewish background, one from a Greek background, that they tell the story sometimes by moving certain stories around in order to make their point.
Now, see, the reason we trip over something like that is we have our modern-day historical conventions. No, it has to be always chronological, a Western mindset. It always has to be done like it's written in a textbook of science or history. But that's not the way the Jewish mind would think. We're trying to make a point, and they can move events around in order to make the point. And that doesn't disqualify it from being precise.
You can get Drive-By Theology and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com.
Wretched Radio's Exalted Worship is a refreshing change from today's mind-numbingly repetitious worship music. Old-fashioned? Oh, yeah. Theologically rich? Count on it. Scott Prepain leads you in great hymns like Holy, Holy, Holy and Praise to the Lord. Kirk Cameron brings you great Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision. So get your copy of Exalted Worship today at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Poofda, reading texts like nobody's business. This is Wretched Radio. This is a sad day in evangelical Christianity for a lot of reasons. Undoubtedly, you've now heard Josh Duggar, it has been revealed, has been living a double life. This story is troubling. The last story, the first story to me, based on everything we knew, didn't trouble me. I mean, don't get me wrong, what he did was troubling. But to me, that was a very classic Christian testimony. That's just such were some of you. We're Christians are just a bunch of sinful, wicked, depraved. You fill in the blank with the sin sinners. That's what the church is. God takes us and says, "Yep, but I love you. Yep, I'm going to send my son to die for you. Yep, I'm going to forgive your sins. Yep, I'm going to adopt you as my child. Yep, I'm going to raise you from the dead. Yep, I'm going to glorify you. Yep, I am going to allow you to reign." Well, that's a gospel. And that's what we knew the last time. And so as I was thinking about, for instance, not to be entirely selfish, but when I was thinking about everything that I said about this subject, as I look back, I don't feel like anything that we said was wrong. I don't take any of it back based on what we knew. Well, now we know something different, and this is a separate issue. This is a different deal. Unfortunately, it being revealed like this, and for those of us who tried to explain, well, this is the story of Josh Duggar, the original story. This is the story of Christianity. Well, we now feel like we have egg on our face. Because, didn't you defend him? Yes, we did, based on what we knew. Now, we know something different. You see, in Christianity, we hope the best. You see, in the secular world, when somebody takes a potential stumble or what looks kind of bad, you'll devour them pretty quickly. We try not to do that. We hope that everything that he said was true. We hope that he was living a life of sanctification. And by all means, he was. I mean, there was nothing that was out. I mean, he was working for Family Research Council. He had a wife, 3 kids now. They were doing the TV show. Nothing to indicate there was a problem. Well, now we know there was a problem. I mean, it's a big problem. And so, while we might feel a little bit foolish by it, don't feel bad if you defended him and defended the gospel. We didn't do anything wrong. Well, now, thanks to the latest revelations, we all feel a little bit foolish, but we shouldn't. Let's just tackle it and deal with it as best we can, knowing that we're going to take a beating nevertheless. Josh is in big trouble. Josh has been, even when the last story broke. Now, we need to consider this, because this is helpful, not for the sake of trying to probe entirely into Josh's life. Remember, we're not the local church, but this helps us to think about how we might proceed with somebody in our church who is living like this. And it's almost certain if you have a decent-sized church of a 200 or more, you probably have a Josh Duggar in your church. It's just the reality. So what do we know? Do you remember when... how many months ago was it, fellas, when the original In Touch story broke about the fondling, the sisters, and the girls? Has it been 3-4 months since then?
I'm looking it up now.
All righty, then, fine. Three, four months, perhaps it's been something like that. Well, since then, he's been lying. During that time, he was lying. He was adamantly lying. He was covering it up then. When that story broke, we received, "Hey, I'm really sorry. It's on the Facebook, his Facebook. I did a despicable thing. I regret what I did. It shouldn't have happened. And I haven't been doing that ever since." So that's the story. He was lying by not disclosing. Wait a second. There's more that needs to be revealed here. And that's why I'm going away. I appreciate that you give me and my family privacy. I have some things to work on. Didn't do that. In fact, he probably was lying by some of the things that he even said in that statement. Not just what he didn't say, but some of the things that he did say were deceptions. Now, that was in, Joey, did you say May that
yep.
that took place? Okay, so June,
three.
July, so 3 months. Okay. That's an ongoing sin. That's an ongoing cover-up. So that would contribute to, we're concerned about Josh. Duration and type of sins need to be considered as we go about as the local church, knowing more information than what we know today, thanks to Fox News. The local church needs to take a look at the duration and the type or types of sins to determine if the person is a believer or not. And it's starting to add up and say, this just doesn't look good. And so that is our current place with Josh. We're very concerned about the state of Josh Duggar's soul because of the ongoing nature of this sin and because of the cover-up of this sin and because of the types of sins. And isn't it interesting? And here's another angle to the story of Josh Duggar. As part of his revelation, disclosure, now that it has been outed because of all things, the Ashley Madison site was hacked. How many people right now are going, are having conniptions as they read the Josh Duggar story? I suspect a lot. When it was discovered that was going on, he admitted that he was also addicted to pornography. Oh, the modern day scourge of pornography. Sir, let this be a lesson to you if you're thinking about pornography or if you are presently engaged with viewing pornography. You will be Josh Duggar. No, I won't. I would never do Ashley Madison and start basically soliciting privately people to do things with. I would never. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. It's just a matter of time. That's what pornography does. The insatiable appetite, it will just continue to nibble until it devours you and consumes you because lies and sin are never satisfied, ever, ever. And that is why, if you are dabbling in porn, or, sir, be careful, you might not be looking at porn sites. What are you watching on cable TV? What are you looking at? Are you letting your eyes linger? It could be the start. It could be just a little more. Just a little more now. It's sort of like that black licorice we bought the other night. Oh,
ew.
I'm telling you, there's not. Oh, don't you with
ew.
The black licorice ooh on me.
I
think it's Australian
face.
Black licorice. Oh, it's so good.
This is
how pathetic we are. And when I say we, I mean me. I would never insinuate that my wife is pathetic. But we're a rather dull sort of couple. And you ever get that feeling? Aren't feelings interesting? We both kind of went, can we do something? It's like, we just don't want to be in the house. So let's do something. So what do you do when you're bored? Some people, they go to the bar. They go to the disco if they still have those. They find a party. They go to movies. We went to the grocery store. That's what we did.
You rock and roll, dude.
Wander around. We went to the Fresh Market. It's kind of a hoity-toity experience. That's why we went, because it's like, let's, I don't know who came up with it. Let's go there, because it's just fun to look at stuff. Oh, it's expensive to buy it, but it doesn't cost a nickel to look at it. So we're wandering through the store, and it's got samples, which are good. It's never a bad thing. And so we looked at all this fancy stuff. I mean, everything there is just like, they make that? Huh. And they've got varieties of that? Huh. So we left with a purchase of some coffee beans because there was a vanilla cinnamon coffee, and I couldn't resist. So we got a little bit of that, and it was the black and cherry licorice that was there from Australia. We bought a little bit of that because that stuff is really expensive too. Oh, and there it sits on the counter, and I just look at it, and it just calls my name. You skipped lunch today. It's okay. You can eat some more. That's why we're here. You've been working hard, Todd. You've been putting in extra hours editing that Life show, and I don't mind telling you, I'm getting a little sick of seeing Scott Klusendorf's face. I'll just tell you that. I love Scott Klusendorf, but I'm getting a little tired of his face and his yammering about the Life issue. I'm on episode number 11 right now, and each one I have to... It takes me about an hour and a half through each one. I'm just going back and forth looking for stuff to put on the screen. So I'm just getting a little... You've been looking a lot at Scott Klusendorf's face. Have some more licorice. Come on. I mean, some people, they'd eat the whole bag right away.
Todd.
You've waited a day and a half.
You know, if you just eat it, the voice goes away.
Exactly. There's another one. You'll feel better after you eat it. And that is what sin does. It lies. And, sir, that's what it does to you. Let me tell you something. If I didn't lies. And let's just say I had a never-ending supply of licorice sitting on my counter, like you do with pornography on the internet. In about 6 months, I wouldn't be freakishly tall Todd. I would be tubby 2x4 Todd. That's what I would, because I would just keep listening. I would buy the lie, and I'd keep eating licorice, and down it would go. And that is what you will do with pornography. And Josh Duggar is almost certainly a morality tale for you. There are two ways to learn. You can learn it through experience, or you can learn it through others' experience. Josh Duggar has just learned it. Why don't you learn from him? Do you know what he's going through today? They had to get the ice packs out now for the bruising. This is a mess. This is a wow dog's breakfast. His wife right now, and it would appear she has biblical grounds, could be divorcing him. That's what's going on in the Duggar household right now. And it raises the question again. Now, I don't want to argue backwards, but it is not invalid to ask this question. In fact, speaking of Scott Klusendorf, episode 11 deals with Greg Kokel's Columbo tactic. It's Socratic, but it's also Jesus style, asking questions to help people reveal to themselves the fallacies of their own thinking. And so these are the three Columbo tactics. Let's see if I can. Wait a second. I don't have to remember them. I've got them right here because I've been working on them like crazy.
Almost
at
like
12 minutes
this.
And 3 seconds in segment number 11. What do you mean by that? It's a clarifying question. At 12:07, the second question is, how did you come to that conclusion? Because what you do is you just help people express out loud what they've simply formulated sort of in their brain. And frequently then when they hear themselves talk, they hear fallacies in their own arguments and go, you know, maybe that doesn't sound so good after all. And then the third question is, have you considered the implications of your view? I want to be careful as a Christian that I use this question, valid question, rightly. I don't want to take a look at an example of a bad result and then reason backwards that my theology or my position is wrong. But if I see enough examples of bad consequences, I might want to take a closer look at my position to determine, am I maybe standing on the wrong spot? Is it possible this whole concept of Christian celebrities, accountability, did it exist with Josh? Does it exist with the Duggar family? That this is, there are, in a sense, acting in a role of elder by teaching, by being out there. Is this maybe time for us to stop and go, evangelicals, it's time to stop embracing evangelical celebrities? Which is actually a chapter in my new book. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to do something radical, to use your telephone to actually call somebody, specifically MediShare, to talk to a Christian who will introduce you to an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. Intrigued? You betcha. I want you to talk to a human being. Here's the number for MediShare. 1-855-54-BIBLE. 1-855-54-BIBLE.
Not available in Montana.
This is John MacArthur here with another edition of Portraits of Grace. One Sunday night a few years ago, my 3-year-old granddaughter Katie rode home with me after I finished preaching. During the 20-minute drive, I doubt there was more than 2 minutes silence. We talked the entire time. At one point, she gave me a little theology quiz. "Did you know when we don't share, it makes Jesus sad?" she said. Well, I told her I knew that. Then she said, "Did you know that because of those wrong things we do, Jesus had to die on the cross? We shouldn't do them." Well, what a thrill to hear my 3-year-old granddaughter express in her own sweet words the most profound truth ever known to man, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't trade that precious conversation for anything. And I trust you're teaching your children the truth of the gospel. It's never too early to start.
Here at Wretched, our goal, our desire, is to proclaim the gospel to as many people as possible in a clear, concise, and accurate way. The biggest project is our ongoing campaign to do that, to distribute the Biggest Question DVDs through local churches. Hundreds of volunteers are ready to distribute the gospel if you can help us financially provide the Biggest Question DVDs. Any help? Go to wretchedradio.com for all the details, and thank you for helping us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Now here's a clip of one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Adrian Rogers.
You see, what is faith? Faith is not saying, "God, prove it to me, and then I'll believe it." No, no. Faith is a response. Listen. Faith is a response to the nature and character of God. Faith believes God not for what God has done, but for who God is. You see, when my eye is right, my eye responds to light. When my ear is right, my ear responds to sound. When my heart is right, my heart responds to God, and that response is faith. And that faith glorifies God. If a man could be saved by works, God doesn't get the glory. But when a man is justified by faith, God gets the glory.
Witnessing to someone you know and love can be, well, terrifying. So if not knowing what to say has kept you from witnessing to someone you love, Terrified is here to help. This CD includes a workbook and actual witness encounters, ranging from backslidden Christians to complete atheists. So you'll never be at a loss for words again. Get your Terrified CD today at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fall from grace? This is Wretched Radio. The local church, time will tell us. The Josh Duggar story. The original one was not a fall from grace. That appeared to be a story about grace. Well, now, it would appear that we have the potential of an individual who claimed one thing, revealed himself to be another. And this is a sad, sad story. Please, as you move forward with this, you'll have to find the balance. Every conversation is different. Recognizing that we're gonna take a thrashing on this one. Do your best to not defend Josh as much as good theology. Try to defend the cross. Try to defend the gospel. Not for the sake of defending it like it needs protecting from us, but so that people don't get the wrong understanding of what it actually is. We want people to not think that the gospel is something that it's not. So try as you can, as you're listening to the conversations. One of the things that as I'm working my way through the Life is Best show, I think it's show number 9, dealing with postmodernism, Scott Klusendorf rightly said, postmodern conversations can go into a million directions. And so too can this Josh Duggar story. It can go all over the place. So try to guide it. Try to steer it to the correct explanation of the gospel, because even in this mess, there is an opportunity for the gospel to shine. Now, what way might that be? Well, I certainly wouldn't limit God and how he could do it, but this might be one of those times, not in a desire to throw Josh and his family under a bus. Want to be careful about that. But this still could be an example that we could use to say, examine yourself. See if you're in the truth. God will not be mocked. You are not going to call yourself a Christian and live in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, playing the cover-up, talking about being a family values guy when you have been the very opposite of that. You're fooling yourself. Examine yourself. Make sure you're not Josh Duggar. That might be an angle that could redeem at least something from this. And so maybe, just maybe, and there's no way for every situation that somebody can put out a policy paper like the Democrats and Republicans do that say, this is your talking points. Besides, that would be pretty arrogant for me to try to do that. But as you perhaps try to keep this thing somewhat on track, maybe you utilize this to not play the defensive role, like, well, hold on, wait. You know what, you're right. This does appear to be an example of hypocrisy. You're right. I am sorry for this. This is a mess. Let me explain to you Christianity and why you're looking at this and finding this so distasteful, because so do we Christians. And that maybe we don't assume this. Well, no, we're going to try. Hold on. No. Instead, maybe it's, you know what, you're right. And we want to be careful because it's not definitive. And again, we're not the local church, but to state everything that we've seen in this thing says that you're right this time. Last time, the world wasn't right, but this time the world is right. And you have every right to be disappointed, disgusted, turned off. I get that. I see that. And you know what? I understand that, because this is not Christianity. This is not what the Christian faith is. And I'm sorry for this. And maybe we don't assume any sort of posture where we try to win a little. Well, we got. You're right. This is nasty. This is ugly. Can I at least explain to you why? Because Christianity is not about this. This is not the way that it is. Oh, Christians sin and Christians struggle, but this appears to be one of those situations where this is, in the words of Josh himself, hypocrisy. This is not how a true Christian acts. A true Christian doesn't do that. So as best I can apologize for Josh Duggar, I'd like to apologize for Josh Duggar. Maybe that's the position that we should think about taking. Questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
1-877-282-BEEP.
You can also send emails to idea@wretchedradio.com. idea@wretchedradio.com. Let's see what you're up to, shall we?
Beep, 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 beep.
Todd, hello, my friend.
Whoa.
Always be careful of people starting off with Todd. Hello,
well,
my
no,
friend.
Well, no. That's just that he could be a church greeter. Sir, you got the spiritual gift.
Or Walmart.
Making somebody feel really rotten when they walk into the church doors. You know, he reminds me of Chappie, the chaplain down at the University of Georgia. There are some people, and this fellow sounds like one of them. They are just full of life. They walk into a room like, I'm here! And they're just amped. This sounds like that kind of fella.
Please pardon my French, but you were wrong about something that you said on air.
Huh? Okay, we got to go over the rules. What's rule number one?
Talk show hosts are never wrong.
Correct. What's rule number two?
If you think they're wrong, refer to rule number one.
Exactly. Sir?
Talking about the days of creation, stating that the seventh day, the Sabbath, was more important than the creation of man.
Well, that's not true, my brother. You see, the Sabbath was made for man. Mark 2, Rexella. Furthermore, yeah, both Vody Bachum and John Piper have stated that man is the crown glory of God's creation.
Correct.
And, well, let's say, no offense, but I'm going to go with them on this one.
No. I go with them, too. Let me try to articulate what I was actually saying. That the creation week appeared, that it was revealed in levels of importance. Now, the reason that I would say that day seven was the most important day was because if day one, stuff, matter, it became more sophisticated on day two, we get into the sun and the moon and the stars, plants, I think is day five, animals and humans on day six, we see it's like it's increasing in its level of importance. But it doesn't stop there. It still culminates on day seven. What was day seven? Day seven was a day of God appreciating God. So I agree with you that the Sabbath was made for man. That's its significance with the Sabbath law. That the day was made for us. To do what? To rest. That doesn't just simply mean, I'm going to nap all day. But to enjoy God. Ultimately pointing to whom? The Sabbath was a pointer to Jesus. So ultimately the seventh day was about our Sabbath rest in him. So that is why, and this isn't a big deal, the Sabbath week progressed in its degrees of importance, culminating on the seventh day, God enjoying his own work on the day that pointed toward the salvific work of Jesus Christ. When we rest in it, every day is a Sabbath rest. So I agree with Vody. I agree with John Piper on that. I think, though, that I was making a different point. Now, if you continue to disagree, call back with your perky attitude at 1-877-282-BEEP.
The light analogy breaks down because it's partialism, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that those are just different parts, that the Father isn't fully God, the Son isn't fully God, the Spirit isn't fully God. Only when they're together are they God, and that's not correct. The Father is fully God, the Son is fully God, the Spirit is fully God. Space analogy falls apart for the same reason as well, because space is defined by height, depth, and width. And without all of those parameters, you do not fully have space. They're all just partialism. So, sorry.
I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick. Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick. You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism. A heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one third of the divine. Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
Before I stab you in the face with
a fork. At
least
there was no face stabbing.
All right, now, I'm never going to try to defend a Trinitarian analogy. But just to be clear, no, the light analogy, the one that I always thought was at least, I think, reasonable, was space. Height, width, depth make up space, but they are three separate things. Now, but sir, could I not describe the Trinity that way? One God, three separate persons. So that could... Now, I'm not... Believe me, I'm not trying to get into a tussle with you. I'm as high on the Athanasian Creed as anybody. Probably higher. So I'm not trying to undermine it. I'm not trying to start a new cult. Not trying to do that at all. But doesn't the description of the Trinity sound? It's not. But doesn't it sound like partialism? The light analogy, the same thing. It sounds like... But is it necessarily partialism? Because, for instance, space, the analogy I'm more familiar with, isn't width all by itself? It is a thing. And so is height and depth. It is a measurement, but together it makes this space. Yeah, maybe it is partialism. Ooh, this Trinity thing. Remember, understanding the Trinity, you can spend the rest of your life trying to figure it out and basically going nuts over it. But if you don't figure it out, you could basically spend the rest of eternity in hell thinking, I really should have tried to figure that out.
As far as whether you were too critical of that gospel presentation video, here's one thing to think about. For a video that was about 4 or 5 minutes long, you critiqued it for 35 minutes and only had two positive things to really say about it. So I think out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks, and I think you were being way too critical. Most of the time you spent was criticizing word order or phraseology, and quite honestly, I think it's a little overcritical.
Now, so what I just heard you say is that tonight you're going to Dairy Queen so that you can get a banana split with sprinkles on top. Okay. We spent a long time on it, sir, but for if I heard you saying this, give it, cut it some slack because it's 4 minutes. I can give you the gospel in 15 seconds accurately. Lack of time is not an excuse for being sloppy about the most important message, the most important event ever. The gospel. I don't know that we can be too hypercritical. When somebody puts together a gospel presentation with the sole purpose of it being a gospel presentation, I think the standard could be pretty high. Okay, maybe 35 minutes was too long, but...
Hi, I'd like to submit a Bible verse for your argument on whether or not the video group should release their videos on Planned Parenthood. I would like to submit James 4:17, which says, no. Whoever knows the right thing to do it fails to do it. To him it is sin. And I'm wondering if these people don't release these videos, if they just hold on to them, and yet they still inadvertently fund Planned Parenthood through their taxes. Isn't that similar to an endorsement? Isn't this the same reason why so many people stop giving money to Susan G. Komen?
Yeah, that's an interesting verse, sir. The only little snag in that is that if they did something sinful to reveal sin. Can't do that.
Hi, Todd. I am so grateful for y'all's work on the Life is Best show that is coming up. But having stood outside of Planned Parenthood for over 3 years now, I would probably disagree that the question to be resolved is, what is it? We need to move one step beyond that. Similar to when you are taking surveys, you may get different answers as the culture changes. What if the survey starts saying, yeah, sure, it's a baby. So what? It's still a choice to kill it. That, Todd, is what we're seeing outside of Planned Parenthood. That's what we're having yelled at us. So what we need to do is say, thus saith the Lord, you shall not murder. We need to get back to the scripture. We need the law of God. We need to use God's word. And we need to not rely only on arguments that could change with the culture that say, so what? It's a baby. It's my choice to murder.
Now, I agree with you. And I have to tell you, madam, I hate hearing that your experience is that people are saying, I know it, but I'm going to kill it anyway. I get that. But I don't think that that undermines the importance of establishing the issue that the unborn is an innocent, whole human being. So, but I also agree with you, as Christians, now as Christians, not as a social construct, but as Christians, we say, now that we know it's a human being, God says, thou shalt not kill that human being. Because when you kill an innocent human being, that's called murder, and that's a sin, and you need to repent. Until next time. Go serve your king.